Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Tuesday, February 17th. I'm Charles Pelkey with these news updates from around Wyoming. Some Wyoming lawmakers want to see the state in the driver's seat with energy development on federal lands. Wyoming Public Radio's Caitlin Tan reports.
Representative Bob Wharf spoke to his colleagues about legislation he helped write. He says it'll
basically allow the state of Wyoming still to function even if our federal government shut down.
It would shift the management of leasing federal land for energy development from the feds to Wyoming. But it's a resolution, which holds no legal weight. It's just a formal ask of the U.S. Congress. Here's Senator Ed Cooper of Ten Sleep.
This is one of those really good ideas that's, as presented, is pretty much a pipe dream.
It's working its way through the Senate. The House passed a similar resolution. It requests Wyoming get a larger share of royalties that companies pay for extracting oil, gas, and coal out of federal land. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Caitlin Tan.
It's week two of the Wyoming legislature's budget session, and the landscape for how the state and town share tax revenue could be shifting. That includes a bill that would codify how sales tax money is distributed. The money is important as local governments have had less revenue in recent years, in part due to property tax cuts. But Representative Tony Locke of Casper argued against giving cities, towns, and counties a bigger share of the state sales tax money.
We definitely have to worry about government operating. Keep in mind, we need our families operating too.
That bill passed the House. It now heads to the Senate. Another bill that would have eliminated all residential property tax collection in Wyoming died at the start of last week. A court ruling that shut down a major natural gas expansion project in Sublette County has caught the eyes of Wyoming's governor. Governor Mark Gordon announced the state has filed a petition to the Interior Board of Land Appeals to reverse its decision. In mid-January, the board threw out Jonah Energy's normally pressured Lance natural gas project, saying it violated the Clean Air Act. But Gordon said the state has primacy and is well-equipped to manage air quality. He said the project could bring billions of dollars to the state. President Trump recently signed a bill to continue funding the National Endowment for the Humanities. Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Haberman reports on what that means for Wyoming Humanities.
Wyoming Humanities supports lectures, book clubs, and museum exhibits around the state. But that work took a big hit last spring when the feds abruptly ended its nearly $1 million grant with the nonprofit. Executive Director Chloe Flagg says Wyoming Humanities could see new funding from the National Endowment, but what that might look like is still up in the air.
It does not mean that we're returning to any kind of semblance of how things were before.
She says they won't know how much money they'll receive or what the stipulations might be until later this spring.
We have established an FY26 budget that does not rely on these federal funds.
The org went from a staff of 6 to 2, and it's cut back programming. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Hannah Haberman.
President Trump is tapping a hospitality executive to head the National Park Service. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports, the nominee's company does business with the agency.
Scott Socha oversees the Parks and Resorts Division for Delaware North, based in Buffalo, New York. The company holds multiple contracts with the Park Service. It operates general stores in Yellowstone and an RV park at the Grand Canyon. Emily Thompson is the executive director of the Coalition to Protect America's National Parks. She says Socha's experience working directly with the agency could be a plus, but she encourages senators to closely vet his nomination.
To ensure that any conflicts of interest can be set aside and that we can make sure that the protection of the mission of the national park system, the protection of irreplaceable resources, and support for NPS employees is in the forefront.
Thompson says it's a critical time for the agency after staff and budget cuts and efforts to alter the display of history at parks. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
And here's Ivy Engel with a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. A new documentary aims to tell the stories of veterans and their lives post-service. The Riverton Ranger reports, Crossing the Threshold explores less visible aspects of the process of re-entering civilian life, like identity and the effects of place. Creator Sophie Barksdale describes the structure as a ribbon, moving from childhood and enlistment through deployment and the work of coming home for several Fremont County veterans. The film is scheduled to debut in a tour across the state starting this summer. A historic steam engine in Evanston is getting closer to operation. The Uinta County Herald reports a group of volunteers has been working on the Union Pacific 4420 steam locomotive engine since 2021. They've formed their own railroad company, the Evanston Western Railroad, in order to get past the last certification hurdle. They're hoping to have the locomotive ready for public display by Memorial Day of 2027. Time magazine has listed the University of Wyoming in the world's top universities of 2026 list. UW also ranked as the nation's 61st best public university. And according to Mondly, Wyoming is the fifth best state for library lovers. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. What is the most popular wedding venue in the Snowy Range? Send us your answer to wyomingpublicradio@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout out to the first person with the right answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, who was the first Chinese national to enroll as a student at the University of Wyoming? Ling Kuei Meng, a 28-year-old aspiring diplomat, arrived at the University of Wyoming for the fall semester in 1929. Majoring in political science, he later became an active participant in Chinese politics in the 30s and 40s, a turbulent time in China. Beyond that, we know very little. Congratulations to Kathy McDonald, who was the first to submit the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. And just a short note, if you happen to be around Cheyenne today, supporters of Wyoming Public Media will be gathering at the Capitol at 12:15 this afternoon to celebrate 60 years of public radio in Wyoming. You can meet up at the intersection of Capitol Avenue and 24th Street. The event is supported by the American Coalition for Public Radio. And enjoy the day, and join me again tomorrow.